Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. On today's program, Andrew interviews David Barton about the origins of Thanksgiving and America's godly heritage. And now here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Again today, we're continuing our interview with David Barton. I tell you what a blessing he is. And all last week, we've been talking about American history, specifically the Pilgrims when they came over here. We talked about why they were motivated to come, how that they founded the Plymouth Colony on the Scriptures. And we talked about how that they went from a socialist system to a capitalistic system. We talked about separation of church and state and just a lot of things that I tell you most people don't know, or they've heard a revisionist history of these kind of things. And I tell you, it's been really, really good, and it's been encouraging to me. And David, we started talking about the actual holiday of Thanksgiving, and you had this little thing right here. That is this the original cover that
it is
on that?
That's the original
Why
cover.
Why is it all front?
Well, it is. It is animal skin, and over time, as humidity's come in and out, the animal skin has kind of shrunk up. So if you know what it's like, when leather gets wet, it kind of shrinks, and this has been wet at some point in the last 350
wow.
years. So
this was 16, what?
This is 1669.
Wow. So anyway, we've been using a lot of documents to verify these things and started talking about the Thanksgiving holiday. I guess today we ought to talk about how did we make this a national holiday for the United States.
You know, it's interesting that because we studied our history and knew our history, and because we knew that the Bible, and, you know, we talked about the Geneva Bible specifically because that's what the Pilgrims used, but it was these commentaries in the Bible that built our Republican form of government, that gave us written bills. See, so many countries did not use written constitutions or written documents. And problem with that is they didn't, because whatever the king said was what was law was. So you didn't even write it down.
If he said it changed
from king to king. And but the Pilgrims pointed out that, look, when God gave the law to his people, he wrote it out. With his own finger, he wrote it and gave it to Moses. And then they wrote down the law. And then every king of Israel after that is supposed to make a handwritten copy of the law before they were inaugurated. And so God is into written laws because you can go back to that and rely on it and it doesn't change. But if you were in Europe at the time, you didn't have this. Well, not only did the Pilgrims say we want a written law, the Pilgrims said we want a written bill of rights. And we need to list the rights that government cannot. That's part of separation of church and state. Separation church and state, we're saying government, you can't touch these things. Our Bill of Rights today is what is now used for the federal government to regulate every area. No, Bill of Rights was to say, federal government, you cannot touch this area. Separation church and state, you keep your hands off this. You can't touch our right of self-defense. You can't touch the sanctity of our home. You can't touch our right to have justice. You can't touch our right of speech. You can't touch our right of freedom of religion, rights of conscience. Now it's exactly opposite.
But yeah, it seems like that we have a mindset that the federal government is almighty.
Well, it tells us they are.
They led us, you know, they
by their grace. That's right.
But the mindset of the Pilgrims and the founding fathers was that, no, the people are the ones
that
have the ultimate power. And this was telling the government what they could and couldn't do.
That's exactly right. And that was limited government comes out of the Bible. It doesn't come out of the Constitution. It comes out of the Bible. The Constitution incorporated those principles, and we'll look at that later. But the Pilgrims had a huge effect on all this through the way they inculcated thinking. So this is what shaped so much of America. So from this, they want to honor and acknowledge God in everything they do. So they had that time, their first year, they've made it through the winter, they're coming to the harvest time. They want to thank God for having carried them through a year here on the continent. And so in doing so, they have that festival we talked about yesterday, the fact that the athletics was involved, a big meal was involved, and worship and thanksgiving to God was involved. Now, how did that become what we have today? Well, what we have today is not very good. How did it become the holiday that we have today, which is a good holiday? It's just that we don't practice it the way we should. The way it be, and we closed yesterday by talking about that the reason Thanksgiving is important is not only do we want to remember God, we want the nation to remember God. So after we've gone through the Pilgrim thing, what happened was other colonies started saying, that's good. We're going to also honor God. And so all across New England, from that Pilgrim model, they started having days of Thanksgiving once a year, always in the fall. the Day of Thanksgiving, the Lincoln Proclamation that you pointed to, that you have, I think that was actually celebrated the first week of December. It wasn't November. It might be October. It might be November. It might be December. Sometime in the fall, we're going to have a Day of Thanksgiving. And so that became such a big deal all over the New England colonies. This, for example, and there's going to be some reflection. I apologize for the light that's going to happen, but John Langdon. Now, most people don't know who John Langdon is. He's a signer of the U.S. Constitution, but he was also governor of New Hampshire. This is a proclamation for a day of Thanksgiving in New Hampshire. Now, he also has a lot of prayer requests down here. He's having the people pray Day of Thanksgiving, and he's praying that God's word would spread all over the colony of New Hampshire. He's praying that Christ would be better. I mean, his prayer request would make people's blood curdle today if they were in the ACLU or something else, because it's not very secular sounding.
They are just denying that this is our history.
That's right.
But this is.
But here,
this is actually the first printed.
Well, no, this is just an example of how the states did it. This is from Connecticut. This is Oliver Wolcott. He's a signer of the Declaration. He's now governor of Connecticut. He's called a Day of Thanksgiving. Here's one out of Jonathan Trumbull. He's also from Connecticut. This is a day of Thanksgiving.
What I was asking is, are these original?
Oh, these are originals.
They aren't the original document, but the original.
This is the first printing of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the governor.
These date back to.
That's right. The governor would have written it out by hand, and then it'd be printed. And a matter of fact, I'll show you one here. I'm going to lay those down right there. I'll show you one that's written by hand by President of the United States. We actually have one written by hand by President Chester A. Arthur. Mm-hmm. That is his handwritten Thanksgiving proclamation. Now, from that, they took and made those printed broadsides that we're looking at.
Would the year have been on that?
This is 1888. So I believe it's 1888. Let me check it right here. In the year of our Lord, 1981. And it is the year of our Lord, yeah. 1981.
And people don't like that.
No, they don't like
I've
that
noticed
either.
That they're getting away from before Christ and anti-dominoes.
Well, I know a congressman who was a judge before he was in Congress, and he sends all of his constituent letters back. He signs them. In the year signed, Congressman so-and-so, in the year of our Lord, 2013, the committees in Congress, Ethics Committee, said, oh, no, you can't use in the year of our Lord. He said, don't tell a judge you can't quote the Constitution. He said, that is an exact quote out of the Constitution.
Amen.
It says, in the year of our Lord, 1787, don't tell me I can't quote that.
I tell you, Christians need to get more of
they need to stand up
attitude.
And get a backbone. That's exactly
and if
right.
We would stand up and push our agenda as much
that's
as
right.
the ungodly have pushed their agenda. I think it would make a
and
difference.
And we're in the right. I mean, they keep telling us we're in the wrong, and we believe that. We believe a lie. But all this thing about and I mentioned we mentioned too yesterday about how the pilgrims also had the next year a day of fasting, and that day of fasting was really interesting because they had planted their food and they need their food in the springtime, otherwise they're going to have a bad winter, and their food had been planted and the rains were not coming, they were lacking rains, so the pilgrims in 1622 called for a day of fasting. And they got together, they fasted, their crops were just withered and not doing well. They fasted and prayed and prayed, and God sent rain right after they fasted. And the rain was a very gentle rain. When rains came at that time in the spring, there were always storms. And what happened was the Indians actually saw them pray and fast for rain, and they saw a gentle rain come. The Indians went to them and said, We saw you pray to your God. We saw him send rain, but the rain we always see this time of the year always destroys our crops. It's always thunderstorms and hail, and that was a gentle rain. We want to know your God. They literally said, as a result of watching that prayer be answered through prayer and fasting, that we want to know your God.
That's awesome. Now, is this in these journals that you're talking about?
That was in the writings of some of the pilgrims talking about it. The governor of the pilgrims talked about how the Indians came to it. That's in a book called Of Plymouth Plantation. Governor William Bradford wrote that book, and he accounts the records. And so he talks about how the Indians came and wanted to know our God because they saw the gentle rain that fell. But that started something else. What happened was, all right, this is the spring. You had a day of fasting. In the fall, you had a day of Thanksgiving. So it started all across New England. Every year in the spring, the governors would call a day of fasting. And in the fall, you would have a day of Thanksgiving. Now, let me just pull some out here just for grins. I showed you last week the Abraham Lincoln Fasting Proclamation. Uh-huh. Just let me pull some others here that are a little different. These are all fasting proclamations. This is from John Hancock. And they called these broadsides, by the way, because what they did was they nailed these to the sides of barns or to trees or anything else. And so this is the way the governor lets you know. Well, this is a proclamation for a day of public fasting, humiliation, and prayer. He's got in big letters down here, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Redeemer Jesus Christ. And part of what he's praying and fasting, and this is governor of Massachusetts, part of what he's praying and fasting for here is he's praying and fasting that anybody that doesn't know Jesus will come to know Jesus in the state of Massachusetts. You go, really?
That's awesome.
We don't even do that in church. I mean, when's the last time churches fast? But here you got a governor, founding father, signer of the Declaration, ratifier of the Constitution, president of the convention who ratified the U.S. Constitution for a day of humiliation fast. Because in New England, in the springtime, you had one of these days. Here's one right here.
So anybody who sits here and says that, you know, these people were not
Christians. They were atheist,
Christians,
agnostics, deists.
At the very best, yeah. Deist and stuff, and they weren't worshiping the Lord and stuff. How in the world can you look at a proclamation that this guy makes and come to that conclusion?
This may be inappropriate, but I'm going to do it anyway.
That's all right. I get a lot of criticism. There's, might as well get criticized for what you do.
There's a lot of... I love watching movies, and I love, you know, I love movies that are chick flick and wholesome movies. And one of the movies I like watching is an old movie called Princess Bride.
Yeah.
And there's a point in time where he makes a comment, and she comes out, she says, liar, liar. When they say, oh no, the founding fathers didn't believe in God, liar.
Yeah.
Give me a break. The Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, praying and fasting, people come to know Jesus. Now see, this is John Hancock, signer of our documents. Here is one. This is Samuel Huntington. He's a signer of the Declaration, general in the American Revolution. This is a day of fasting, humiliation, prayer in Connecticut. Same kind of emphasis on Jesus Christ here. Here is one.
It's not an isolated event.
No. Here's Oliver Wolcott, signer of the Declaration, founding father. This is a day of humiliation and prayer. Same kind of prayer request, Jesus Christ right here. Here's one by Samuel Adams. He's the father of the American Revolution. Same stuff, a day of public fasting, humiliation, prayer. Do you know by 1815, there were 1,400 government-issued calls to prayer in America by 1815.
Wow.
Founding father's still alive. Oh, by 1815, you've got 1,400, and about half of them were for fasting and prayer, and about half of them were for Thanksgiving. It goes back to the Pilgrims. The Pilgrims had the day of Thanksgiving first, the day of fasting next, then a day of Thanksgiving, and then it just kept going, and that became a national tradition. Now, the South didn't do that much. It was mostly the Northern colonies, and it changed when all the colonies came together in the American Revolution. Because in the American Revolution, you have the Continental Congress, which is made up of colonies from the North and the South. The guys up North have been doing prayer proclamations for years. The guys in the South just rarely do them. When they got in Congress, they did them. And so Congress, throughout the 8 years of the American Revolution, alternated between a day of Thanksgiving, a day of fasting, a day of two calls a year. There are 15 calls to prayer in the Continental Congress, where the entire Congress of the nation is calling all 13 states to days of fasting and prayer and days of Thanksgiving and days of fasting. And it is so cool to read those proclamations of the American Revolution, because it'll start out with, the first one was in 1774. John Adams talks about it, and they called a day of fasting. Well, a few weeks later, and the day of fasting, by the way, is very specific. We're facing this. We need help on this. We need God. And a few weeks later in the records of Congress, a few months later, you see this thing that says, you remember all that stuff we prayed and fasted about? Look how God answered the prayers. Let's have a day of Thanksgiving. It goes and lists all the answered prayer requests. So a day of Thanksgiving. Then about 4, 5, 6 months later, they say, we got a lot of stuff to pray for, so another day of prayer and fasting. Then 4, 5, 6 months later, they say, look at how God answered the prayers. Let's have a day of Thanksgiving. And so it alternated 15 times in the Continental Congress.
That's awesome.
And it spread across. Now, from that, you have this going of nearly every year you have this, which now we're under the U.S. Constitution. We've finished the Revolution. We've gone in the Constitution. And this is the first ever Thanksgiving proclamation. This is done October the 17th, 1789, signed by George Washington right there. Now, why would George Washington call the entire nation to a day of prayer and Thanksgiving? I want to read the first paragraph.
Sure.
He tells us why he calls us to prayer. This is what George Washington said. He said, it is the duty, and I'm going to emphasize that word duty, because military men know that, but he says, it's the duty of all nations, grab that, not individuals, duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for his benefits and humbly to implore his protection and favor. Therefore, I'm calling a day of thanksgiving. Now, Washington said a nation has a duty to do four things. A nation has a duty to acknowledge God, to obey his will, to be thankful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. He said, because nations are supposed to do those four things, that's why I'm calling the nation to a day of thanksgiving.
That's awesome.
Now, that's the father of the country. That's the guy, the president of the Constitutional Convention. And we're told today, oh, no, you can't. There's a lawsuit going that's been going in Colorado that says, oh, no, you can't have a day of prayer in Colorado. And crazy judge said, oh, you can't have a day of prayer because days of prayer have only been going since 2004. What? How about back to 1621, 1622, and 1,400 times by 1815? But see, he doesn't know history. And if you don't know history, that's what happens. You get into bad policies because you don't know history. But that's why we have Thanksgiving, because it's the duty of nations, not just individuals at home on Thursday. It's the duty of nations to acknowledge God.
Yeah, I think that's awesome that you're going back and quoting all of these signers of the Constitution, George Washington. But here's an even higher authority. It says here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it talks about all of these curses will come upon you, etc. And here's the reason. Because you didn't serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things.
Yeah.
And so the Lord right there says that we have an obligation
Thank you very much.
To be thankful unto him. Yeah. So this is not something that just started with America. This goes all the way back to God commanding us to be joyful. And this, I really believe that the Day of Thanksgiving, in my opinion, is the most godly holiday that we have in its origins and stuff. You know, and you could probably correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I've heard that George Washington didn't actually encourage, he outlawed Christmas and stuff like that because it had pagan background and stuff involved in it. But Thanksgiving is just absolutely started to give thanks unto God. It's changed to a lot of people, but it is a godly holiday.
Well, let me hit the Christmas thing, because that's a great point. We talked last week about the three periods of Christianity. Period one, period of purity. Period two, the period of apostasy. Period three, the period of reformation. And what happened in that period of apostasy, the state-established church did a lot of pagan stuff associated with Christian things. And so as they got to the period of reformation, they didn't like Christmas, because the way it was associated, they liked the birth of Christ. No problem with that.
Yeah,
but the way it was celebrated, they didn't like that. But what happened is George Washington didn't have trouble with Christmas because he is an Anglican, and that was the state-established Church of England. And so Christmas is celebrated in the Anglican, but the Puritan folks, and that's the Congregationalists, those guys in Massachusetts, no way, no way. And so all the way up until literally the Civil War time, Christmas was outlawed in New England because they considered it a pagan holiday.
Okay, so just for my correction, it wasn't Washington then. It was the Puritans during that period.
It was
of
the
time.
Puritans who set it out as no dice. As a matter of fact, I think at about the Civil War time, you could be suspended from school in New England if you celebrated Christmas holiday. Now, if Christmas fell on a Sunday, they would celebrate it in New England, and they would have sermons about it, and et cetera. And everybody was into the birth of Christ. Matter of fact, John Quincy Adams, who was himself a Puritan, John Quincy Adams, sixth president of the United States, and I say Puritan, he's a descendant of Puritans, but they consider that Puritans. In 1837, 4th of July speech he gave, he said, what we have done on the 4th of July is we have celebrated what happened on the birth of Christ. Because when Christ was born and came into the world, he brought forth certain principles. 4th of July, we've taken those principles and made them into our nation. And so he loved the birth of Christ. They just didn't love the celebrations that went with it. Now, if you're Anglican, which is high church, Anglican, Catholic, some Presbyterians, some Lutherans, they're going to celebrate Christmas. If you're lower church, which is Methodist, which is Baptist, which is Congregationalist, you're not going to celebrate Christmas. So in America, Christmas was pretty much a split deal, but not Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, you stop and you thank God.
That's the point that I was trying to make, is because there is a lot of ungodly things associated with Christmas. A Yule log wasn't a Christian deal, and just so much stuff. But man, Thanksgiving is a godly holiday. I think Christians ought to really celebrate that. And of course, it shouldn't be limited to one day, but there's certainly nothing wrong with setting aside a national day to worship.
National day to worship God. And even if you go back to the book of Ezra, it's a cool thing that Ezra had a day of fasting before they set on the journey. They said, we've been bragging to the king that God's going to protect us. Let's make sure he does. And so they stopped at the river. They had a day of prayer and fast. Then they get there, and what do? They have a day of thanksgiving. And so that day of thanksgiving, day of fasting, that's biblically precedented, and that's what we did. And as we pointed out, this is not limited to individuals. It was the duty of nations. Yeah. John Adams, in his proclamation, said it's not only the duty, he said it's the indispensable duty of nations. He said, this is not just a duty. This is a duty you cannot avoid. You have to
do
this.
And I think that's what elevates Thanksgiving, is that I thank God every day of my life.
Yeah.
I'm a very thankful person. I do this. But as a nation, mm-hmm. we need to thank God, because this nation has been blessed as no other nation that I'm aware of has ever been blessed.
And I love George Washington's proclamation, because he says, you thank God, but you do three other things. A nation is to obey His will. A nation is to be grateful for His benefits. And a nation is humbly to implore His protection and favor, which is why we call the nation to prayer on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You know, and now today they say, no, not the nation. You can do that in church if you want to. Do it at home, but we're not going to do it. No, that's not our founding. Our founding, we do this as a nation. By the way, our birth certificate says that the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States in Congress assembled say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created by a creator equal. Wait a minute, that's a unanimous declaration of Congress? Says, hey, there's a God. Yeah. The God gives us our right. God gives us our rights. Yes, absolutely. That's the duty of nations, and don't let anybody tell you this is a private duty.
I tell you what, the secularization of our nation is totally against everything that it stands for, and it's not going to exist and continue on if we continue to allow it to go the direction it's going.
That's right.
So this is really important. I think it's really important, David, that we are elevating and talking about Thanksgiving, because it's really at a core of things. If we don't recognize God and His providence and His protection and stuff, we're just doomed unless we get back to that. So
first,
it's really important what you're sharing.
The Bible says that all those nations that forget God will be turned into hell. It's really important to remember God and acknowledge God.
Sad to say, I think that the church has done a really poor job educating people and standing for these things. And, you know, I think that democracy or republicanism, whatever is the right term, we're just voting people into office and stuff that reflect our lack of morals today.
That's right.
It really is. And so it really comes back on the church that we have not been winning the battle for people's hearts, and that's the reason they're voting the people in.
That's right.
That they are.
I agree totally.
So it needs to change, and we're doing our bit right here to share these things. So let me mention again that we have a couple of free things that we're offering you. This is David Barton's track right here, Thanksgiving in America. And we were talking earlier about that, man, this would be great for you to get this and have your children distribute this to their friends and let them know the true godly heritage of Thanksgiving. This is Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation, and this is a refrigerator magnet that you could put on your refrigerator, anything metal, file cabinet, anything like that. And these are two free offers. And then we have this interview that I've done with David Barton here for 2 weeks entitled God and Country. And this not only has our 2 weeks that we're airing now, but also 4 years ago I did 2 weeks worth of interview with David. And we just talked about a number of different things. And so this actually has 4 weeks of television programs that are on here. There's two CDs that have all of that. And then this is the, that was two DVDs. These are CDs with just the audio portion. And we're making all of these things available, and I believe it'd be a great blessing. Let me also mention that you have a website. It's I'll let you give
wallbuilders.com.
And hopefully that's on our screen here. And I encourage you to go to their website, because they have a tremendous amount of material there. I couldn't tell you, but at least 15 or 20 hours worth of their things. I've got your Founders Bible, and I've been using it, and they just have some awesome, awesome things in there. So anyway, please get these materials. Call or write today. Also visit David's website, and join me again tomorrow as we continue this interview with David Barton.
Today's program is part of a two-week series in which Andrew and David Barton discuss the origins of Thanksgiving and America's godly heritage. These 2 weeks of programming have been added to a previous two-week series with Andrew and David titled God and Country. All 4 weeks are available on either CD or DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. If you'd like to receive the Thanksgiving Proclamation Magnet along with David Barton's track titled Thanksgiving in America, visit our website at awmi.net and click on today's TV offer. This offer is limited to one per household while supplies last. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Lessons from Elijah for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download many free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of January, he'll be in Phoenix, Arizona, and in Woodland Park, Colorado. In February, he'll be in Woodland Park, Colorado, and in March, he'll be in Yorba Linda, Riverside, Pasadena, and Santa Clara, California, and in Woodland Park, Colorado. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
Thing that God's put in you to do is something that really you get motivated to do. You get more specific direction, and God just really speaks to you throughout the third year as to how I want you to do this, the steps I want you to take, and really He makes your path straight as you go forward to do that.
It's just unbelievable. It's so much more than what I expected it to be, but what it's doing is it's preparing me for ministry.
Everything they teach is just so practical. It really is easy to understand.
The Ministry Training Program is designed to help Charis Bible College graduates identify and be equipped in their calling of either business, media, ministry, missions, or worship. The Business School gives students the opportunity to learn from entrepreneurs about planning, implementing, and running successful businesses. The Media School is a workshop environment where students go beyond theory to build media communications from the ground up. The Ministry School's curriculum includes continued immersion in God's Word, in-depth ministry experience, and teaching workshops. The Mission School will be offered for the first time in the 2013-2014 academic year and will give students an opportunity to experience missionary life firsthand through an extended stay on the mission field. The Worship School focuses on mentoring and developing CBC graduates to lead the body of Christ into genuine worship with character and integrity. The Ministry Training Program also offers more sound, biblical teaching that our graduates loved during their first and second years at Charis Bible College. To learn more about this program available to Charis Bible College graduates, visit our website at charisbiblecollege.org.